and welcome to the Backrooms Podcast. You've got me in charge today. You've got James in charge. We're here with Tom.
Hello.
That's Tom. We're here with Elliot.
Yep.
Might be able to talk.
Hello.
Making his food. Oh. Right, Tom?
I'm here.
Oh, yep. We're all here. We're all a bit all over the place. Tom's been stuck in the car park. Elliot's making
I'm making tea here.
He's making tea, so very professional around this.
I am a multitasker, and I am here working in my back rooms.
He's working in the back room. See, he's providing.
Correct.
He's taking the spirit of the podcast on. So today we've got Stacey Shepherd on the interview. So she's a private physio as well as a physio for Sheffield Sharks, the basketball team from Sheffield, who I only learned during this interview are actually professional. Didn't know that. So you learn something new every day. We'll take a listen to that. We're going to do four quarters, just like basketball, because, you know, it's in the spirit. It's in the spirit, isn't it? It is in. Thank you for the ad libs. And we'll play that. We'll have a chat about it. And it's another perspective. Obviously, we've had a coach. We've had a media man. And now we've got a physio, highly requested physio. I know people who wanted to hear from a physio. So, you know, you ask, we deliver. And we'll play that and we'll get into it and we'll rendezvous in about 7 minutes. How does that sound? I don't care how it sounds. I'm doing it anyway.
What is your name and what do you do?
So my name is Stacey. I am a physio. Been a physio for 14 years now. So I do two jobs, both physio jobs, but I work in sport. So I work with basketball, professional basketball, and then I work in a private clinic as well. My role in the private clinic is predominantly hands, so I specialise in hand therapy. Do a little bit of other stuff as well, but predominantly hands, and then the basketball side of it is all sorts of different sports injuries, treatment, or look after the men's and the women's team, so nice mix of both.
Yeah. As for someone who's never been to a physio and probably shouldn't, because I am made of absolute, I'm just made of stick. Just explain to me like I'm stupid, like I'm an alien. What is physio? Because it could be quite broad.
So physio is very broad. Most people associate physio with like musculoskeletal stuff, so that's anything to do with bones, ligaments, tendons, soft tissue within your body. There is also an avenue of physio that I will just mention, so that people do respiratory physio or neurophysio, people work on medical wards within hospitals, so there is also that side of physio as well. The side of physio that I do is musculoskeletal, so as I just mentioned, joints, ligaments, can be anything from someone spraining an ankle to somebody, you know, having a fracture in the arm, leg, or, you know, even vertebra, muscle strain, muscle tear, ligament tears, post-surgical.
Anything that could possibly happen to an athlete, basically.
Yes.
So how did you get into physio?
So, I've followed basketball from being young, so I've always had an interest in sport, and since being young I've had horses, and myself and my mum. My mum once fell off a horse and ended up at the physio, and as a sort of, I can't remember how old I was, maybe 11, 12, so I would go along with her to her physio appointments, and I just quite enjoyed what they were doing, found it quite interesting, fascinating. And then when I was a little bit older, went back to shadow the person that was treating my mum. So he was actually the physio for England football team. So after he'd finished with the team, finished in sport, he'd set up his own practice. And I just went along for a few sessions to see him work. And I just was really interested in what he was doing. The fact that kind of you're helping people get better, and people come to you with a problem and you can try and help them fix it and ultimately make their life better. You know, some patients come sometimes with really kind of debilitated issues and you can kind of try and fix them, and so that whole side of, you know, helping people out kind of got me interested and made me want to get into physio.
Can you remember exactly what is your mum, this is kind of a bit of a weird question, but what did she do? Like,
it was her lower back.
So
ligament sprain in her vertebra. So between your vertebrae, you have some small ligaments that attach each of your vertebrae together. So she sprained one of those and done some damage to the muscle at the side of the side of your spine.
So that was when you said when you're a teenager. So as you went through your career, because you just told me through your career. So obviously you started shadowing the person, the England football team coach. How did it kind of like go from there?
So from there, obviously came to applying for universities, I applied for physio and sports therapy because I'm dyslexic. So I didn't find out I was dyslexic until I went to university. So I didn't do great in my exams. So I was predicted to get all these really good grades, but then actually sitting my exams at A-level didn't go as well as I expected. So after my S-level, I actually switched to a BTEC, and I was actually quite told that I wasn't going to be able to do a physio degree after that because I needed to have done A-levels or A-levels, as they call them. So everyone was like, oh, you'll never go on to a physio degree with a BTEC. Like, you just won't do it. So I applied for both physio and sports therapy because sports therapy needed a slightly lower qualification. But I finished my BTEC with triple distinction, which was the highest mark, got onto my physio degree. Obviously found out I was dyslexic. I did some tests at university, which meant that I had a little bit more time and just lenience, I think, in my projects, so like grammar and stuff like that, which really helped me out. So I ended up finishing my physio degree with a first class degree, so I was kind of like, well, you told me I couldn't do it and I did it anyway kind of thing, which is quite nice. And then from there, I started working in a private hospital. So as part of your physio degree, you work in hospitals to do your rotation, so we do placement marks, which worked quite well for me because I've not been the academic side of things, the practical side of things, with all the placements was really good. I really enjoyed all of those. And you kind of get to know kind of what area, so they put you in different areas. So you kind of, like I mentioned earlier, about respiratory and like neuro and things, so you do placements in all of those areas, and then you kind of get a feel for sort of what you want to do, which area you like the best. Mm-hmm. So obviously I liked MSK, so I went into sort of MSK orthopedics at the hospital, and then I kind of fell into private practice, sort of through basketball a little bit as well. So I've been watching basketball, been watching the charts since I was like child, since I was about 7 or 8 years old. So I always had an interest in basketball. Never really played myself, played a little bit when I was at uni on the uni team, but just a fleeting interest in playing myself. But I did really enjoy watching basketball. So I was actually supposed to go and shadow the physio that was there already. But it turns out there was a bit of a complication and I ended up being the physio for the team that year. Fresh out of uni, I hadn't been out of uni that long. So I kind of relied a lot on the people that I worked with at the hospital and my kind of seniors at the hospital at that time to go back and forth with information. I spent a lot of my time reading studies and books at that time, kind of getting all that background information. And then just progressed my career from there really, and then now I've got students of my own. Like I said, I've specialised in hands now, which I find really interesting. So now
that's the first quarter. So she talks about how she ended up as a physio. Ended up, I'm not sure if that's the phrase to put it, because out of all like the origin stories for a job, your mum doing a lower back in falling off a horse has got to be up there for one of the weirdest ways you could possibly fall into a job.
Definitely a niche.
Definitely a niche. When she told me that, I kind of thought, is that, I'm not sure if that's something I can like have a bit of a laugh about. So I asked her what her mum did. Her mum's okay now. So it's not like it's that bad. Being a physio, obviously everyone knows, I feel like everyone knows what a physio is, but they don't really know what they do. So it was interesting to hear that. So is there anything you find, were you found like particularly interested in that, Elliot? Was there anything that like stood out to you that was like,
Well, I never, obviously when you think of physios, you think of, obviously they do a lot of hands-on work. So you don't really think about the struggles you can get into that place in the, get into that role in the first place, as in like, obviously, she mentioned how she was dyslexic. Was that right?
She
struggled with the exams and things to build up to being a physio. So already before she even got into the role itself, you know, she's already having to push through barriers that, you know, that nobody's put in front of her for her. It's just something that she's got to overcome for herself. And I think that, I think we've said it in probably all of the podcast we've done so far, in that these people are clearly very invested in becoming, were invested in becoming and are invested in carrying on being good at their role and enjoying it, I guess.
Yeah. Tom, I'll throw this to you because you're slightly
bless you.
More, bless you, right? You're slightly more active than the rest of us, to put it lightly. Did you know about the different bits of, like, the different sides of physio? Or is this just me in particular being a bit dim? Did you know there was different bits?
I know there was smaller categories. Like, you could put them into, like, let's say, like, a rugby physio or a running physio, and they're, like, going to, like, specific things. But I didn't know about, like, the different, like, body part sections of it. That was something I wasn't really aware of.
Well, she talks about, she'll talk.
Yeah,
she'll
no,
talk
that's new information to me.
She talks later in the interview about specifically focusing on hands, which I won't talk too much about it because, well, frankly, I don't know that much about it, and she knows a whole lot more than me. She'll talk about it, but, like, interesting is, like, and there's different, like, there's mental, but you can have a mental physio. Isn't that just a therapist? Like, I'm probably not.
So.
That's probably an insult to therapists and also physios. So, my apologies if any of them are listening.
Stay in our lanes.
I've just turned them all away now. They all think, oh, what an idiot. But anyway, I'll let her talk about that. I think she goes on to talk about now about how people telling her not to wanted her to do it. So we'll kick on with the rest of the interview. Let's go.
When people kept telling you couldn't do it, I mean, physio is a much more hands-on subject than just writing.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
I did do physio, but I did PE, and I hated the writing side.
Yeah.
I'd happily do the physical side.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's quite good, even if you didn't realise you were dyslexic, to go into something where you didn't really have to. I'm assuming you do have to write, like, some things. I'm not sure how to do, like, report forms.
Well, there's lots of reporting. It's getting more and more each year. We get more and more paperwork to do.
Yeah. So would you say when people told you couldn't, did you use that as motivation to be able to?
Definitely, yeah. I'm not someone that, like, if someone tells me I can't do something, I'll be like, yeah, I can. So no, definitely motivation, yeah.
And just this is the first question. In the basketball, what are the most common injuries you get during basketball? Because obviously it's quite high intensity, isn't it? It's a lot of back and forth. I'm assuming it's a lot of knees and it's a lot of hamstrings.
More ankles. So
ankles
is the most common. A lot of the time, because they're mostly jumping, so they're jumping for rebounds, and then they come down and they'll accidentally land on someone's foot. Obviously the player's up in the air, looking up at the ball, trying to grab the ball, not paying attention to where their feet are landing. Obviously, you've got two or three players that are all doing the same thing. So, you know, someone's foot gets under someone else's foot and, you know, it's gone over. So that's the most common thing to happen in terms of injuries like during the season. Hamstrings, you do, yeah, we get tendonitis and type stuff, you know, patella tendon, so that's your tendon over your knee. Strains at this time of the year, particularly coming towards the end of the season, you get a lot of tendonitis, like strains, just because everyone's kind of worn out, tired, and obviously we do our best to keep on top of everybody, but it can be difficult at times. But no, in terms of big injuries, I think statistically it's ankles, then ACL.
ACL, yeah.
Yeah.
Seems to be getting everyone nowadays.
Yeah.
Matter of time before mine will go on, don't they? So with the other people who do like the podcast, they talk about COVID quite a bit, with how that changed, like something changed the trajectory of their job, or it affects them in a way where they then bounced up from it. How did it affect you in a way? So obviously, with being a physio in the private clinic, I'm assuming it's not as bad because we still have patients. But on the sports side, if people aren't playing sport, you've got no people to physio, really.
Well, we were a little bit different, though, because it's a professional league. We were still allowed to continue to play.
Yeah.
We just didn't have any crowds, which was very strange. So I think in the beginning, it was towards the end of the season when everything started. So our season finishes in May, and I think it was March time when we went into that first lockdown. So everything pretty much shut down, didn't it? Because nobody really knew what was happening. So both the private clinic and all the players that were here for that season, because we have a lot of overseas players, they pretty much were just gone home. Season was done. We didn't finish out that season. The private clinic, I think we shut down for maybe 2 or 3 months, maybe in the beginning. And then we started to come back into clinic just for those kind of essential patients, post-op patients that, you know, needed to be treated. We weren't treating anybody with any kind of, you know, minor injury, shall we say. And then, Yeah, so then moving into September, which is about when season starts again, it was all a bit touch and go. Like, are we going to have a season? Are we not going to have a season? Like, what's going to happen? So, as I said, the season was allowed to go ahead. We just didn't have the crowds there, but we were having to, especially as medical, we were having to test everybody. So we were having to swab everybody. We were having to, in fact, actually that first season, it was before they brought all the like the nasal swabs out. So we were having to blood test everybody. We were having to do the antigen. So I was having to prick everybody's finger every week and do the antigen test, because that was the only way we could test for it at that time. Obviously, when the swabs came in, it was much easier. We were just swabbing everybody every 2 or 3 days, I think it was at the time. Obviously, everyone was all wearing masks. We had sanitizing stations at the side of the court, so each time the player came on and off the court, they had to sanitize before they went on the court, sanitize before they came off the court. Obviously, they weren't wearing masks while they're playing, which was hence the reason we were having to test everybody so regularly. We were checking temperature when you walked through the door as soon as you came in and out. Yeah, it was. There was a lot going on during COVID. So I don't know whether it impacted anything positively with regards to sport. It was kind of a bit of a nightmare, all of that, having to do all of that. We were very glad when when all the crowds came back in and we didn't have to do any of the swabs and everything anymore. On the clinic side of things, I think probably we did a lot more remote workings. So we now have an app that we always had the app, to be quite honest, but we just didn't really utilize it as much as we do now. So we have an app called PhysiTrack that we can put exercises on and send to patients, and it has little videos of each exercise. We can also like the reps and sets that they need to do. So during COVID, we were doing a lot of remote, either video calls or telephone calls, and then we were able to then send exercises out via this app to patients. So I think that's something that's probably changing in my practice now, is that I utilize the app a lot more, even though I've had patients coming in to see me in the clinic now. For the patients, it's a lot easier for them to remember what they're supposed to be doing, and it just gives them prompts as to whether they're doing the exercise properly or not. So I think that's probably a positive that's come out of COVID, if there is any. But yeah, I think the thing, like, it's just kind of working as normal, really, for us, because it's healthcare. We quite quickly got back up to full capacity. I did work in the GP practices a little bit, so I've just kind of relocated, I guess, because when the clinics weren't as busy, we were working out of GP practices and seeing patients in GP practices instead. So there's a little bit of a shift around. But yeah, glad it's over.
So there she talks about, obviously, basketball with high energy sport, probably the highest energy sport. And I'm glad you proved me wrong, because God, it's hard being right all the time, with the focus on ankles. I'll throw this to Derry first, because once again, he moves the most.
So
I'll save the COVID question for you, Elliot. But don't you worry, mate. I won't talk to you about ankle injuries. Tom, do you get injured?
Oh yeah. I've got quite a lot. Mostly in my knee. That's been the big one. But I recently got injured in my shoulder from swimming, which is like kind of a rare one actually. It's pretty hard to get injured swimming, but I did it. So
don't people recover from injuries swimming?
Yeah, that's something that does happen. But yeah, it's sort of like it was my own stupid fault. So
no, come on, you can't end it there. What'd you do? Come on.
I just did too much too quickly. Like, I ramped up my training amount too much. And that caused issues. Yeah, rookie error.
Right. Well, we won't dwell on your rookie error for too long. I'll throw over to the COVID, Mr. Vaughan Elliott. That's probably the first time. Well, it is the first from the two where COVID didn't actually benefit her, because obviously she was already in both of her jobs when COVID hit.
Yeah.
So it is the first time that, well, obviously for everybody else, it seems, in the world, COVID was negative besides the two people you managed to interview. So well done for that. Obviously, we can still see the effects of COVID on the health system now. Obviously, she talks about now using an app and seeing less patients in person. I'm not going to get political, because obviously there are NHS and COVID and waiting times. That's an absolute mess. But do you think it's positive now that more things have gone online from COVID, like healthcare physio wise? Do you think that's a good thing?
I think so. From the way that she was describing it, obviously during COVID times, it was a nightmare, because we're not prepared. It's a physical job, so why would they ever need to be prepared to do it online or remotely? But in a way, as like she said, there's not many positives to it. It has kind of created a better future for us, I guess, if you put it that way, for people that can't travel to the doctors and can't get in physically or can't get an appointment. It means that they can target a much larger audience and look after a much larger audience. And I guess it works for the same way around as well. So for people that are trying to pursue the same career that she's in, it's given them a much more broader spectrum. Like it has probably for people in like every old role in sport, in that you can now do a lot more from the comfort of your own home through apps that were specifically designed to to set stuff up for other people, basically, and all you've got to do is kind of teach them how to do it, and it definitely makes something that was once a physical, like you needed to be in the same room as each other, it made it a lot more accessible for everybody, I guess.
That's a positive way to look at it. Wonderful, our meeting software has decided that we only have 2 minutes left. So what I will do is I'll use this as a time to have an impromptu break for any body who wants to the sponsor us, and we'll be back after this halftime team talk, should we call it. That's the half-time team talk done. I've had a word with them. I've tonked up the game a bit. They've been a bit lacking of energy today.
Charming.
Can't blame, because we're filming it 9:45 and it's bedtime. But that doesn't stop past me from continuing the interview with our old friend Stacey Shepherd. So we'll play that the third quarter. We're into the third quarter now, second half, whichever way you want to look at it. We'll rendezvous in about 5 minutes because I've messed up the timing. And the two quarters were longer than they're going to be longer than the last two. But it's just quirks of the job, guys, isn't it?
It's a bit more lighthearted.
Yeah.
Your favourite part of the job, either, well, you can do one for the clinic and one for the basketball side, really.
I think my favourite part of the clinic side of things is, like I said before, just generally helping people. You know, some people come in and literally can't walk some days because they've like thrown their back out, or, you know, it could be something more serious, like people have like torn the complete patella tendon and, you know, it's completely ruptured, or you know, people who have ACLs and then they've gotten back into sport. Just that, you know, gradual seeing people progressing them over time and just working alongside them. Some of these patients we will see for quite a while, for a good number of months. So you get to build up a rapport with the patient, you know, you get to kind of know what they're like, what they dislike. You can have a bit of a laugh and a joke with them over the time that you know you spend with them. And it's just a fun environment to be in. You know, it's just kind of, I don't get up and think like, oh, I don't want to go to work today. I do get up sometimes and think I don't want to do all the paperwork. But the actual physical side of the job, just putting a smile on people's faces and, you know, not that it's about gifts and things like that, but it's so, like, some patients will, you know, give us little cards, just thank you gifts and thank you cards and things. And it's just, you know, it's like I said, you don't do it for that. We're just to know that you've changed someone's life, or you've helped someone out so much that they, you know, appreciate you in that way is nice. And then from the basketball side of things, again, I mean, it's a similar sort of thing. Obviously, just, you know, it's slightly different with the basketball, because for them, that's their career, it's their job. So because it is professional sport, a lot of these players come from overseas, so they don't have, you know, they're not doing anything else. This is their livelihood. So when they're injured, they run the risk of getting cut from the team, or, you know, they're not able to play as well as they have done in the past. So then the stats go down, so then they might not get signed the next year. So there's all sorts of other things to think about. So it's a lot more mentally challenging with the basketball team. So sometimes that, I quite enjoyed that side of, you know, again, building that rapport with the players. you know, helping them kind of get on track mentally as well as physically. It's all helping people, really. I just like to help people.
Yeah, because there is that mental side to injury that people don't think about. It's like, if you're a normal person, or I'm injured, or weak service, but if it's an athlete's getting injured, they can't go to work, they can't do it their lives. So it is a side that many people don't see as well. So obviously, I'm assuming you see that firsthand, you see how it affects people.
Yeah.
Mood and whatnot.
Yeah, and different players get affected in different ways as well. You know, it depends on kind of whether you're a starting player or whether you're a bench player, you know, that can affect, like, also the time of the season affects it as well. You know, if it's going towards the end of the season or if it's the beginning of the season, it kind of makes a difference as to how we manage that injury sometimes as well. So there's a lot mental to think about as well that probably you don't kind of see from the outside, I guess. Yeah.
I'm going to cut it there because I know what's coming next, and I think I know what's coming next. I hope I do. If not, I've forgotten. But that's a question I'm going to ask right at the end of this.
No,
I want to talk. I'm not going for it yet. I'm going to wait, actually. We've got the focuses and obviously the positives. So we've gone from COVID, which has turned out to be quite negative. Well, negative, positive in a way, but like leaning more to the negative side, to actually what she likes about the job. And it shows again that it seems that everybody interviewed just seems to be very passionate. That everyone behind the scenes, seems to just be very passionate for what they do. And obviously, it's a good trait to have. We've spoke about it on the other two episodes, about how good of a trait it is to have. I'm starting to think that everybody who works in the background of sport just seems to love the sport they do. Obviously, they're not going to admit they hate it. They're not going to come out and go, oh, I hate it, really. But nobody seems to dislike it. And obviously, this is a good trait to have, because you see some athletes at the front, well, especially the big, big stars get paid way too much money, but they can stop caring. But it seems like the people in the back don't stop caring. Obviously, that's quite a positive thing to do. Nothing to say about that. I just wanted to speak that fact.
It was a good interjection.
Well, I've don't worry. I've got a question to ask you both. This isn't the James Stout show. I wish it was, but it's not.
Who knows?
Obviously, the mental side of sport is something she said was quite important. You don't think about it, do you, really? You only really think about it when something goes wrong and then somebody brings it up. It is interesting, isn't it, Elliot, that there's, well, not to say interesting, but people forget athletes are human beings in a way, don't they?
I'll definitely say so. I mean, it doesn't help with probably, you know, how removed fans probably are of sports these days. I mean, there's so much more to just watching a game of whatever, basketball, for instance, in person. You now got live TV, you've got pundits who have something to... you're doing that one, Demi.
Do you want to repeat that? Because I
didn't... Yeah, I thought that was good.
But yeah, I think because of how saturated the ability to watch or is now. You can do it from behind a screen, you can do it from in your own home, you can play video games to simulate them, and you kind of just forget that, you know, there's, for instance, say there's a swimming race of 10 people, you forget that those 10 swimmers are, you know, individuals who go home at night and wake up every morning and train different. And I don't, personally, I try my very best to remember, you know, we're working in sport, these are people that we're working with. But I think that the audiences that watch them, which is kind of why we started the Backrooms podcast, that was the whole thing, is that they forget about that there's more than just the people on the screen as well.
So what I'll do is a lovely little segue. I'll
definitely throw it over to people are neglecting.
Yeah, I'll throw it over to our resident athlete, Tom Derry. So glad you're an athlete, because this would have been so difficult if you weren't. What kind of man are you, Tom, if you were to get injured? Because I said people take it differently. If you were to get injured, say you've sprained your ankle and you can't move for four weeks? I thought she was there, I'd ask her. How would that affect you?
I wouldn't be too happy, to be honest. I mean, but I guess that's obvious, but for me, though, it'd really annoy me, but the best thing about triathlon is that there's three disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just do more swimming. I can get in the gym if possible. And you know, say it's a running injury, maybe there's a chance I can get my bike still. So I can, you know, and then like get through it and then come back stronger on the other side of it. I want to know what's wrong, and how I can fix it for the future. Sometimes it can end up being like a positive thing because you know like how to deal with it.
Do you have to? Sorry to interject, but do you have to speak to many physios? Do you as a?
I have in the past. Yeah, I've spoken to quite a few. And I've usually come out learning quite a lot. It's helped a lot with like strength and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, so you're saying that you try and look for the positive.
I'm just interested because I don't.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, it's a little bit different because I always have something to do, really. But I do think the physio does help me feel a lot better about it than if I went in alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd really struggle if I went in alone with it. Whereas when I have people that like support is a lot easier.
Yeah. So the physio, just like I said, does more than just the physical. They help with the mental as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad I've got an athlete because, to be fair, I do dabble in a bit of five a side. Don't get me wrong. If I'm injured, it just makes me miserable.
I mean, I did used to swim, but you know.
Yeah, that's years are long gone now. Let's be honest.
It's not relative anymore.
Yeah, just like I used to play football when I was 14. Don't think I can apply that anymore. But sorry, my apologies. My final thing in this little quarterly break, I'm pretty sure I ask her now what the weirdest injury she's seen. I hope I did, because if not, I'm gonna have to cut this up and move it. But what do you think? It was in the basketball. I don't think she had something to, like the physio side of it. How do you think the weirdest way she saw someone get injured at basketball was? We'll have a bit of a guess. Obviously, I know the answer, so I'm not going to bother guessing. But let's have a guess. Who wants to go first?
Go on, Derry.
I reckon they broke their arm by the ball, like, going into it at a weird angle.
Right.
That's my guess.
Right. Elliot, hit us with it.
I reckon they went to get drinks. They want to get a drink on the sidelines and slipped. For a, you know, accident at work kind of vibe.
Accident. Well, you both. Well, there is like half right. Cause I'm pretty sure it's an arm injury. But
okay.
What will be told is the injury. And Stacey tell us because Stacey knows and I should know, but I've got the memory of a goldfish. So cue the fourth quarter.
I'm assuming this is not like an invasion, right? You can't say, but what is the weirdest way you've seen somebody get injured? Is that something you're allowed? Because I'm not sure about that.
I don't know, as long as I don't mention any names, it's fine. The weirdest way you've seen somebody get injured. I've seen people like Commander all over cameramen before. So obviously the basketball, we have the TV cameras. Mm. So they'll usually be like the ones up in the stand that do the whole court, and then they have the ones that go around the sides. So they'll be mobile, so there'll be a guy with a big massive camera on his shoulder. And I remember we were at a competition. I think it was, I don't know if it was the semis or the final, and one of our players kind of just got lost his balance. He was like threw the ball in. I think the ball was going out of bounds, so he was doing his best to kind of keep it in, and then ended up literally commander rolling like over the back of the cameraman, taking the cameraman out on the floor, and injuring his wrist. So yeah, that was probably a not expected injury that you get. Certainly whose fault that was. He'd argue the cameraman was in the way. I think the cameraman would argue he was just doing his job. So yeah, that's probably the strangest. The rest of it are just usually pretty straightforward. Like I said, ankle rolls, you know, twisting your knee funny. And sometimes they can be really strange in the fact that it's hardly anything. I had a guy get injured earlier this year in practice and literally just planted his foot, twisted his knee, like, well, twisted his body to go the opposite direction, which he would do, you know, 100 times over, and tore his ligament. So you can, you know, that's weird on the other end of the scale, but it's next to nothing that's happened, and it's quite a major injury that's kind of, you know, stopped him from playing for the rest of the season. So two different types of weird, I guess
there. I'm calling a technical. No, not what was it called? Timeout. It's called timeout.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Basketball. Derry wins. Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah, I
think that's great.
Because he injured his arm, so
Derry thinks that he's.
I'll say that.
Derry just about wins. I won't talk too much on this because I'm conscious I'm rambling. Yeah, well, we got one question left. I'm pretty sure. Obviously, I was really right with from the timing of the last question, as you can tell by the seamless cut. Pretty sure now she talks about her item. Now, forewarning, I did tell her this question in advance, and I'm pretty sure I spent the entire interview thinking about it. So, wonder what our item was, guys. Let's find out.
We'll finish the interview. Obviously, you've had a lot of time to think about this. Okay. I forewarned you. A single item, how big or small, that has either helped you through your career, you associate with your career, or just an item, really. It's a special item.
So, I think, after a bit of thought, there's probably a couple of things maybe that I could have chosen. I was struggling to narrow it down to one. But I went with finger putty in the end. So because of my specialist in hands, we use finger putty quite a lot. So finger putty is kind of like a, almost looks like a bit of slime when it's in the tub, but it's quite solid. So we use it for various different finger exercises, for finger strengthening. So it's very versatile. You can use it in different ways. You can use it for like a couple of fingers at a time. You can play with it in your hand. So like I said earlier, when the patients aren't playing with it, I can play with it myself, and it's quite a nice little de-stressor. Acts as kind of like a bit like a stress ball, but in a slightly different way. I don't know how you would, for people that don't know what finger putty is, I think probably I would most like it. It's like a bit of blue tack. Yeah, kind of. Play-Doh kind of pulls apart a little bit more, I guess. So blue tack's a bit more kind of sticky, so it doesn't pull apart quite as easy. It's more like that blue tack where it's kind of sticky. But it's not kind of easy to mold. You have to kind of move it. You can get it in different strengths as well.
Yeah, so how does that help? Like, what does that help with? Obviously just
so it helps with, it's really, it's obviously hands you use all the time in different ways, you know, whether you're holding a knife and fork or opening a door, or so for patients it's really useful to, you know, first, for example, if you're strengthening a knee or a hip, it's pretty much like single plane of movement that you're strengthening in. So you might tie a band around your ankle and pull one way and pull the other, you know, so if you're pulling out, you're strengthening your quads, if you're pulling back, you're strengthening your hamstrings. Whereas that with your hands, it's difficult to strengthen them in the same way that you would use them day to day, because you use them in a variety of different things. So the finger putty is really good at getting into it. You can mold it into all sorts of different shapes, sizes. So it's just really good at mimicking things that you would naturally do day to day in natural hand positions. So it just really helps all of my, the majority of my patients that I see that I have patients, I pretty much use it with all of them. You can have it in your back pocket, you can have it in your bag, pull it out wherever, you can just play with it when you're on the train or when you use it. It's very versatile, useful to just get out wherever you are. Really.
Perfect. So we'll leave it there. Right. Thank you very much. That was fantastic.
And there we are. That concludes the interview. Fingerprints.
That was fantastic, like you said.
It was. I cut myself off with fantastic, but it was quite fantastic. finger putty, not exactly as big as a home gym, and not exactly like a football shirt, but still very important.
I like the practicality of it, to be honest. I thought that was like very like Bear Grylls-esque kind of.
Well, I don't think. I mean, Bear Grylls. Do you think Bear Grylls?
She's not like gonna. Finger putty is not saving lives, but, you know, it's helping them. So, you know.
Definitely helping them, because I bet you get loads of arthritis. You'll have loads of people are like tapping away on the keyboard. Their arthritis in their knuckles must be terrible. So I bet finger putty is quite all right. Not like Play-Doh. Once again, James is wrong. Shock. Well, yeah, maybe I need to get myself some. I'm not sure if that would actually help me in any way. I'm not sure I'm at that age yet.
It sounds fun, actually.
It does sound quite fun. I say it's not as big as a home gym, but, I mean, clearly, just as important. She spent ages thinking about this.
I imagine it's the same stuff that makes your hamstrings, doesn't it?
No, because she said that it's quite difficult to move. My hamstrings are very easy to move and very easy to pull apart. So, yeah, I really should have signed on with her afterwards, actually. And maybe I wouldn't have to stop running after 5 minutes every time I run somewhere. Nobody else has asked me the question, but I asked both of you. So basically, what I'll do is...
I was waiting for the perfect like moment to go, yeah. So James,
Oh,
so I'm
going to
do
then.
It now. So, James,
rewind.
You... Okay. So, James, you interjected on me and Derry the last couple of times. So we're going to do it to you. Huh. What is one item that you would associate most with your career, I guess, your future journalism career, or something in the past?
Well, I'm not going to throw it to journalism, not yet, because I'm only on my second year and many things can change. What I'm going to do, I'm going to throw it back quite far to when I was born.
Oh, my God.
I'm only gone back a little ways because I'm only a young child, but I was given a ball. If I want to go back even further, I might even go back to the exercise ball my mum used to sit on when she was pregnant with me. But I don't think that had anything to do with, well, it might have done. But I was given a ball. I can't remember what ball it was. Might have been a football. Might have been a cricket ball. I remember it being a ball. My first word was ball. So basically, ball is life. Well, that's what I was. They pushed it at me. So that's probably where my, I won't go obsession. Obsession's a bit far. But like my love for ball sport has come from. So cricket, football, dabbled in a bit of tennis. Loved dodgeball at school, but I think I'm stretching now. But yeah, it's just the ball. Just a ball. I have a collection of footballs. I have a collection of golf balls. I don't even play golf. I went in a field and picked loads of golf balls up and they were sat in a bag at home. Well, if I ever go to the driving range, well, I don't have to pay any money because I've got loads of golf balls, but I'm not going to go to the driving range because I don't like golf. So I've just got loads of balls, really. So that would be my items. The first ball I was given. I'm not sure I've still got it anymore. I probably should.
It's like you really took the idea as a child and rolled with it, to be honest.
Yep. Cheers for that.
It's okay. It's my useful contribution for your episode. So.
Yeah. Well. I think we've all contributed quite well.
I'd like to think so.
Time getting awkward because I keep changing the tone of my voice. Has anybody else got anything to say about Stacey Shepherd? Spelled with an E, by the way. It's Stacey E Y, and then it's Stacey with an E at the end, like Erd Shepherd, which is a bit. Just thought it was a bit weird. That's not normally how you see Shepherd spelled. I had to double check that. So that is how it's spelled, and that is how it's spelled in the title, I hope.
I'd like to just say thanks to Barissa coming on, I guess. Well, probably the same for all of the guests we've interviewed, but you know, just a special shout out.
Oh, I will just give one little shout out to James. I'm not shouting at myself, me going that big, but he's the one who suggested me to her. So thank you, James, who works at All Saints High School. I might bleep the name out. Am I allowed to mention school names? I don't know. Maybe, probably not.
Well, you didn't. Can't see why not. If he's like on LinkedIn.
Can't see why not. Yeah, shout out to James. He's like 6'8", absolute giant, but a lovely man. He's like the BFG. Absolutely lovely guy. Maybe I'll get him on next. Maybe we should. Maybe because James will be a good old chat. Love to see James while I'm at work. But I'm rambling now. And before this meeting decides to end as well, because it probably will, because it hates me. I think we'll call it down this episode, and we'll see you in the next episode. Okay. Mm-hmm. If there ever is one, who knows? Maybe, you know, if the people want it, you guys should drop in the comments if you want another episode, and who do you think we should interview? Comments
even
your feedback.
On the Zoom pictures.
What?
Even better on the video call.
Yeah, well, we might interview somebody live next time. You never know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Right, so I'm going to say goodbye first because it's my episode, so I can do what I want. So it's a goodbye from me, James Sowden. It's a
goodbye from me, Elliot Vaughan.
Oh, that's Elliot Vaughan.
And a goodbye from me, Tom Derry.
Absolutely perfect timing, as my girlfriend is now going to keep me out. So,
wow.
Bye, guys.
All good things come to an end. Goodbye.
Do I say bye?